is the Fakeologist speaking. We're in the live stream with the world famous Christine Masti.
I didn't realize other people were going to hear us. That's fine, though. That's fine.
This is actually my setup. So I've created a live stream where I can broadcast to the world on this stream.
Okay.
And I record it.
I got you.
Because I hope I didn't reveal anything that I'm not reading on the screen.
No.
So I assume you're. So I use a pseudonym myself, but you, I guess maybe this is a pseudonym for you, or maybe that's
No. My name is out there. That's fine.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you. I know. I invited you on my show actually a few months ago, but you said you weren't available for that.
Okay, got ya. Yeah, I've been pretty shy about doing interviews just because I'm not. I'm just not someone who ever wanted to do any kind of public speaking, but I've been kind of forcing myself to do a bit. Yeah.
I've seen you, so that's why you. Yeah, I saw you in public and doing something. So then I figured, maybe she's loosening up and is interested, because obviously what you're doing is an extremely big deal.
Yeah.
And people should know. Personally, it doesn't matter that you put your name to your work. I don't think it's a big deal, but I think it's super important what you're doing. Revealing that, my mission is to do what you're doing, is to expose the lie that is virus, the virus and isolation, and just the actual virus story is a much bigger lie than even what you're discovering. The whole idea of contagion is a myth.
Yeah.
It's a very old myth.
It seems like it, and this whole project started with because of COVID, right? And that was how I ended up learning that this whole thing about viruses is just nonsense. So we gradually started doing FOIs on other alleged viruses, and everything, you know, every request to every institution, it always comes back. They have no records of any virus being purified. So, and we just started branching out into bacteria. So not that they don't exist, but asking for records showing causation of disease.
Yeah. Yes, that doesn't exist. Yes.
So we have some on the TB bacteria that supposedly causes tuberculosis. So we now have some responses on that. And I actually just got a response this morning from the CDC saying that they had no records to show that it satisfies Koch's postulates. So nobody has ever purified one from a patient, you know, from a sample.
Hold on a sec, Christine. I have breaks on the broadcast.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, this is how you know you're on my live broadcast. Every 20 minutes, we have a automatic station identification. So and really what you're exposing is the idea that just because you might have a certain bacteria or exosome or polymorphic cell in your system, and the truth is we don't know the nature of some of these exosomes or these small cells in our body. We don't know, are they there because there is a problem with the body, or are they causing the problem? My favorite analogy is just because you have these polymorphic cells, whether you call them viruses or bacteria, it doesn't mean they're causing the problem. It's like saying, do flies cause garbage? No, the garbage comes first and then the flies come, but they're both there at the same time.
Yeah.
When there's a problem.
Right.
And it's the same thing. Well, every fire seems to have firemen. Does that mean firemen are causing the fires?
Exactly.
No. They're usually a response. So I really believe in the terrain theory, saying that something is poisoning our body, either by injury. There's only three ways to get sick that I am familiar with. One is injury, one is malnutrition, one is toxemia. So exposure to toxins, and then comes the repair center, whether they be viruses, which are just human proteins, or bacteria, which we can culture. Maybe they're there to help the situation. They're not causing the situation.
Exactly.
They're not And because we have, because they have the model upside down, they're never going to be able to prove any of what they're alleging because their model is backwards. And they know it's backwards, but the other model is not profitable. There's no money in it. Because if I tell you the way to cure yourself is to eat properly, go to bed on time, don't expose yourself to a harmful environment, how can I make money off you on a subscription basis? I can't.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. Can you hear me?
That was funny. My screen just went black for a moment, and I didn't hear you at all. But it's back to normal now.
Yeah. That's maybe your internet cut out or something.
Yeah, perhaps.
But, so they're never going to be able to prove any of the things that you're looking for with your request because they know the model they are promoting is false.
Yeah.
And if we could get this message out, and there's so few voices out there. There's Tom Cowan, there's Amanda Vollmer, there's Don and David who have the website whatreallymakesyouill.com. There's mm-hmm. so few people that understand the upside down model that is the real model, in my opinion, that they don't care that you or me or anyone is arguing about viruses, what are they? Are they contagious? They don't care about any of this because when people are asking the wrong questions, the answers don't matter.
Yeah.
And no one's answering. You're asking the right questions. You are on the right path. But the big question is that no one will address is are viruses contagious and are they the cause of illness? And the answer is no on both counts.
Well, the reason I focus on the purification part of it is because if nobody did that, you know, they didn't follow through with any other steps to do any sort of investigation of these particles. You know, they point at particles in an electron microscopy image and they just say that's the virus, but they never actually studied that thing. They never even sequenced it or characterized it, let alone did any controlled experiments to see if it actually spreads disease through contagion. So yeah, that's the whole thing is ridiculous. And what I'm getting really frustrated with is all these supposed, I'm sure a lot of them are sincere. And then I think it would be naive to think that there's not any controlled opposition. That would be really strange if there wasn't. But someone started copying me on some emails there's this email list of these bunch of well-known people in the movement, you know, to regain our freedom and put an end to all this insanity. Some of the most famous lawyers and scientists, or so-called scientists, and doctors, etc., that are on the front lines, so to speak, of the supposedly spreading truth. But someone started copying me on their emails, which really surprised me. But anyway, so I was just kind of observing. And then whenever one of them would send out a video or an article that they had written where they're talking as though viruses are real, I would ask them politely, like, where's your evidence for that? Like, and nobody, I actually released one of the email exchanges with Dr. Peter McCullough, because he had done a video, he sent us a video where he'd done a presentation and then there was a Q&A session and he was specifically asked by someone in the audience about this issue of the virus not having been isolated, the alleged virus. And see, he made these snarky, condescending remarks about people like us who are telling the truth and, you know, have come to understand the truth and are telling it. And he made very dismissive comments and he claimed that, of course, it had been isolated to the extent necessary to sequence it, which doesn't even make any sense. But anyway, he insisted it had been isolated and sequenced. And so I responded to his email and I asked him, you know, you're saying these things and what evidence do you have to back that up? And all he said in response was, Christine, you're free to, you know, pursue that line of reasoning if you want, but my energy is directed elsewhere. So he wouldn't even cite even one paper, even though during his talk, when he gave that response, he had vaguely cited some paper. He couldn't remember the author's name, but he said their last name sounded, like a certain nationality. So I asked him, like, you know, can you please tell me what paper you were talking about or any other paper that you think proves that there's a virus? And My screen just went black again. Okay. And yeah, that was all he said. And then there's been other examples too, where, another person, I think he's fairly well known, although I'm not as familiar with him. He sent out an article where he was talking about the so-called variant, Omicron or whatever they call it. And, so I asked him and this guy, you know, he's like a former, I'm sorry, you want his name?
Yeah, no, what's the name of the doctor? I got McCullough first, and he's a
McCullough. So the one I'm talking about now, let me look in my email here. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so let me just, I'm just going into my email to find, his name is Paul Elias Alexander, and his, I'll just read you his, I'm trying to find one of his emails so he describes himself in his emails as health research methodologist, evidence-based medicine, former WHO / PAHO, I don't know what that is, / U.S. Health and Human Services, evidence synthesis consultant, / senior COVID pandemic advisor, former McMaster University professor, evidence-based medicine / research methods.
You're early talking COVID about Paul Alexander.
Yeah, early COVID care.
I've seen. Yeah, he was on a couple talk shows that I, and he just sort of recently emerged on the scene. And he, I'm familiar with him.
I had never heard of him, and I like. These people don't honestly interest me, the ones that are talking like there's a virus, but I thought, you know what, he's describing himself as evidence-based this, evidence-based that, blah, blah, blah. Sends out this article about the imaginary variant. So I said, dear Paul, you describe yourself as these things, and I bolded evidence-based, evidence-based, evidence-based. Where's your evidence that any virus or variant even exists? And he never even replied, and only one person.
You're so right. We are, let's make one thing super clear to people that are listening. We are in the middle of a $1 trillion psychological operation takeover of the entire world. So they are not, the idea that we're going to find people that are in the system on our side is impossible. I'm just a regular guy seeking truth for 9 years. I have no dog in this hunt other than the fact that I have children that I want to see prosper in their lifetime and not get killed by an experimental biological injection. That's my only thing. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a virologist. But I'm an intelligent person, and so are you, and we can see through bullshit and lies. So we know that they're going to throw experts at us that are from their system that appear to be going against the system that are not. They are just controlled opposition. It's a very fundamental part of psychological operations. And they are there to misdirect the people that see something is wrong and keep them misdirected forever. Keep them spinning in circles so they'll never get to the truth. Yeah. So the litmus test is this. You should be able to talk to anyone in the world, and with technology, we can now. I could probably talk to Mick Jagger if I wanted to. There's no reason why he needs to be protected from me if I'm a fan, other than the fact that he might think it's a waste of time. But if someone is really truthful, we should be able to ask them just about any question and get a real answer, not the BS that you've been getting, because what you're getting is just classic stonewalling.
Mm-hmm.
But you are probably getting the truth. And I think PHO, by the way, stands for Public Health Ontario, which is one of these corporate complexes that was put over Canada to run a parallel government. I mean, that's another thing.
It was PAHO, so I don't know what that is, but.
Oh, PAHO.
And then it says U.S. Health and, it says former WHO / PAHO / U.S. Health and Human Services. So I don't know exactly what that's referring to, but.
That's the United States federal version of Department of Health. And I think every state has a Department of Health and Human Services. That's their Ministry of Health.
I know some of these people really, like some experts who are speaking out or so-called experts, they really do believe it. Cause I know, like,
they
I just know
what?
That
they what?
Believe what they believe that there really is a virus and that there really are variants.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're all brought up. They're all brought up in that medical culture. There is no alternative medical culture that is trying to take over the world right now. We don't see a march of the osteopaths and chiropraths trying to take over the world. They're not in this alignment because they know they're not part of the system. So to ask anyone in the system to help is, to me, the definition of insanity. You're not going to get anywhere. And what you got was what I think you should have expected. You're going to get the runaround.
When I ask these questions, I'm not doing it because I think they're going to have any kind of reasonable answer, or I'm trying to demonstrate to the other people on that list, because there are honest and well-intended people on that list. And I'm trying to show everybody, like, look, you're on this email list with all these, some of them really famous people. Like, I'll name a few of the names, and like literally none of them are coming back to me with any remotely legitimate evidence to back up this whole idea of a virus. So I've had some, eventually I left the, I was like, I'm done here. Like, just stop copying me on these emails. And because they're very draining and they take up a lot of time. But I said, if anyone wants to stay in touch, you know, get in touch with me. So I've had some of them get in touch with me and they want to be on my email list and they want to learn more. So that's why I do it. It's not because I think Paul Alexander is going to actually have any evidence that nobody else on the planet has, but I'm just trying to help the others see.
You're exposing them one at a time, which is fantastic, which I love it. There's one other person in the world that I know of that's doing the same thing. And are you familiar with the app called Telegram, which is sort of
Telegram is the other one I'm trying to, I can't get it to work so far on my laptop or my phone.
Get on Telegram. I'm not saying it's the bee's knees, because it's also controlled by the World Economic Forum, I'm pretty sure. Oh, okay. The bad guys control that too. But at the moment, they're not visibly and overtly censoring. So you can go try it out. Because there's one guy on there called Infinite Papers. And he's exposing I'll give you the link. Now that I have your email, because you've been emailing me. I'm on your email list anyway, so I'll send you this. But if you follow my blog, fakeologist.com, I've got all, I post many times, I post all my sources for all, including your stuff. Mm-hmm. And Infinite Papers is exposing these so-called doctor truth tellers one by one. And you can punch in almost any name. I don't think he's done Paul Alexander yet, but Peter McCullough, David Martin, all these guys they're giving us some truth, but they're not giving all the truth. And it's called gatekeeping and guardrailing.
You know, go ahead. I was happy that you mentioned, I'm going to be careful what I say here, but Dr. David Martin, because so many people seem to think the sun shines out his, you know what. And
Uranus. That's why they picked that name of the planet, by the way. They have a lot of inside jokes in their science, believe me. They're really funny.
Well, what I observed was, maybe we could talk about him a bit, because he's sort of, I don't know, I have an issue with him. So first of all,
so does Infinite Papers. He's done a 50-page dossier. I think I've seen that document.
Yeah, someone did a really brilliant. So pointing out all these inconsistencies and whatnot, and I had observed even before finding that document was, I had looked at his website, Dr. David Martin's website, and I was like, first of all, the logo is so in your face, the Masonic, similarity. Yeah. To the Masonic person. It's so in your face, and he has the gall to deny it and say that it has no... I mean, it's so ridiculous. And then, but what was troubling me at first, I was grateful for the information about the patents, but number one, it was like, if you were tracking this information for all these years, as far as I know, that dossier was only just released February of this year. So what was he waiting for? Why didn't he have a lawsuit all ready to go, or even before they started COVID, if you know what I mean? But he had a lot of people confused, a lot of people listening to him were coming away convinced that there's a bioweapon virus. You know, there's still a virus. It's just that it's not natural. It was man-made. Yeah. And there's just so much confusion resulting from him. And And now he was not one of the people who you know, really got the word out that the alleged virus hadn't even been isolated and it was never shown to exist. It wasn't thanks to him. I would say it was despite all the confusion that he was causing, because he would continually insert the word novel. There's no novel virus, leaving open people's idea, the idea that there was, okay, they already had this virus, and that he said things like, we created SARS, and he talked about patents for viruses and altered, gain-of-function viruses and all this nonsense. So I think it was despite all that confusion that so many people have come to realize that, you know, there isn't even proof of a virus. So now his thing, what I see him doing, is he makes these condescending comments about, oh, this talk is not going to be a discussion of whether or not viruses exist. He acts like, oh, that's so obvious and that's so old news.
Hold on, one sec, Christy.
Yeah.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Sorry for the breaks. When I do my regular show, this is my audio that I'm able to do in the day because I'm mobile. But when I do my show at 8:30 in the PM in the evening, which I definitely want to have you on. There are none of those interruptions.
Okay.
None of those interruptions.
It's okay. Just as well anyway, because I was just kind of ranting about him. But, and I, you know, I'm not saying I know for a fact that he's purposely confusing people or anything like that. Obviously, I can't prove something like that, but it's just what I have observed, that a lot of confusion and now this just condescending comments about, oh, the issue of whether or not viruses actually exist is worth discussing.
And as I said at the beginning, and you agree, I think, it's the only issue that has to be discussed. Nothing else matters.
Precisely.
And we have to figure out what is making people ill. And to me, it's the same old game plan they've been doing for 150 years. It's simple toxins, it's metals, whatever the hell they're injecting into people. And I think I saw a truthful video where a guy was analyzing the VAERS data, which can't be really validated in any way. It can only give us a clue, because there's just no validation in that database whatsoever. Right. But if you do take it to be true in any way, his analysis pretty much figured out that you have about a 1 in 200 chance of getting the clot shot, which really accounts for anecdotally, just from my family and friend circle, it seems to be true, because I don't know anyone. I know one person that took the injection and went into the hospital for a month and got the COVID protocol, and it almost killed them. So it's the age old thing where they poison people en masse. And I think one of the places it started was in Lombardy province in Italy. They gave a large group of people a new flu shot, an experimental flu shot in 2019. And a lot of them got really poisoned, and that's the only word I'm going to use. They got poisoned, and then they blamed it on COVIDs, and they said this is where the biggest thing is. And those people probably were sick because they were poisoned by the flu shot, which is – and here's another thing I exposed on my blog. You know, every now and then, every year they say, well, the flu shot has about a 30% efficacy rate. And by that, I think they mean that 30% of people don't get sick from the flu shot. So that means that if you invert that, and they invert everything, 70% of the people that got the flu shot got sick from the shot. 70% were poisoned by it. Only 30% were able to withstand the poison, probably because they were extremely healthy and had an extremely good regimen and terrain. But the rest were pushed over the edge and had huge flu-like symptoms. So this is what they do every year. And now of course, they've labeled it COVIDs because the AIDS hoax of the 80s worked so well, mm-hmm. and they killed so many people with AZT and the other biocides. Like that, obviously, medicine, even antibiotics, they're just biocides. It kills everything.
Right.
And if you're still standing after the poisoning, then you may survive a little longer. Like, you and I both know that the kill rate of the biocide known as a cancer treatment is 98%. It's 98% effective at killing people with cancer. That's incredible that people would go for that. Like, I know people are desperate when they're sick. Like, even I would probably be desperate if I ever became ill from some poisoning. But still, those are terrible numbers. 98% kill rate of chemotherapy, which is straight up biocide. So,
well,
it's actually, I heard chemotherapy is a super toxic antibiotic. An antibiotic means just anti-life. That's all it means.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing magical. It could be gasoline or mustard.
They get away with a lot of stuff. When I was working as a statistician, I was working with cancer researchers, and all I ever saw them study was the chemo, radiation, and surgery. In the years that I worked with them, I don't recall ever seeing a single study where they investigated anything like nutrition or any natural treatments, you know, any detoxification, nothing along those lines. And one of the things I always remember when I would be given a data set, because that was my job, was to look at the data and clean it and summarize it and analyze it. And I just remember seeing they would list, you know, which chemotherapy agent patients had. And I remember seeing nitrogen mustard listed and was like, wait a minute, that's mustard gas, right? And sure enough,
exactly.
You can learn, I think even on Wikipedia, they tell you, they repurposed it as a, you know, it was a chemical weapon during war, and then they repurposed it as a cancer treatment. I was like, what the, you know? And then the other thing, that one of the final straws that broke the camel's back, so
camel's
to speak,
back.
And I quit shortly after, was I had to work on a proposal for a study. I think it was like an application to get the research ethics approval. And what they wanted to do was a study on male cancer patients, so whether being treated for prostate cancer, and they were taking hormone treatment, like I think it was a synthetic hormone, and it was known for making them really tired. Well, because it was poisoning them. So what they were going to do in this clinical trial to treat people for their fatigue, they were going to put them on two or three, I think it was two cans of sugar-free Red Bull a day. And I'm thinking, are you freaking kidding me? This is the best you can think of to help people with exhaustion? Like, you're going to poison them more. And you know what?
What is Red Bull anyway?
Red Bull, exactly. Well, and the thing was, too, in the document that I had to work on, they were acknowledging right within it that Red Bull is banned in some countries, that the amount of caffeine contained in it does not explain the effect that it has on people, and they don't understand even what the mechanism is, what it is that makes people so jazzed up or whatever it does to them. And and then another weird thing was they were going to have a third group instead of just having like a control group and the experimental group that gets the Red Bull. They were going to have a third group that was also getting the Red Bull, and I forget the exact details, but it was like, I couldn't even understand, why are you going to put an extra group of people on Red Bull? And the lead investigator was out of town at the time. I couldn't talk to him. I think he was off at a conference or something. And I remember I mentioned it to his assistant, and she was the same. She's like, she didn't understand either. And I was like, I just felt so sick working on that. And I quit very shortly after that, because I was like, and you know what? Later I looked it up, because there's a database where you can look up all the registered clinical trials, and they got the approval for that. And that, not only that, there was a second trial that got registered too, along the same lines, also giving Red Bull to people. I was like, are you kidding me? That this is what passes for healthcare, and taxpayers are paying for this shit.
Like, and what is Red Bull anyway? What the hell is in it? I know it's a hyper sugar drink, I believe. I know a couple drunks that use it with vodka, but
I don't know. I've never tried it once in my life. I have no desire to try it. But I thought, wow, like, honestly, you couldn't come up with something else other than that. Well, they're experimenting. They're basically saying they know themselves. They don't know what the hell this does to people. They don't understand it themselves. But hey, let's give it to cancer patients as if they need any more toxins put in their body.
So. Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing. Medicine is so close to just voodoo at this point. Yeah. It's if people knew. I'd rather go to somebody with a replica doll of me and have them stick pins in it to save my life, because it makes more sense. It's really
doing
voodoo.
Acupuncture.
Yeah. Well, that would be straight up voodoo. Yeah, acupuncture. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy what's happening. Everything is so upside down. Like the Dollar Vigilante says, he said, our goal is just to survive the next 10 years. I mean, that's really all we sentient beings can hope for, because just to avoid the needle, and we're going to, they're going to go all the way with this. It's not going to stop. So they're going to take all our toys away from us. I don't know if they're going to go as far as food, but I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. It just depends on when the mass psychosis stops.
Right. Like
we're in a mass psychosis right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mass formation. And we're in a herd that is so dangerous to sentient beings like you and me that I don't know what else to tell you. One of my listeners is here, and he's asking me, he's listening live, he wanted to know from you, he said, can you ask about the Brighton and Hove paper she issued in the UK? He's living under that council, and he's had quite a few dealings with them. They are as dodgy as it comes.
Oh, wow.
So the Brighton and Hove, so he's over in the UK there.
Yeah. So those requests were done by someone else. They were done by... a lot of these were obtained by people who I don't really know personally, but they contact me and they send me the responses that they receive. So there's a person who's been doing quite a number of requests lately in that area. And I don't know, like, does your listener have a specific question? I probably don't know anything more than what is posted on my website, but I mean, I could contact the person who got the response.
He could join in and ask you a specific question if you wanted.
Yeah,
that'd
be fine. That's
See,
fine.
Anybody can join this audio chat, so if he's listening, maybe he can come in. If I go quiet for a minute, just know that I'm away, or I had to mute as I'm doing stuff, so I just want to make you aware.
Sure.
You're always connected, but if I go quiet, that means I can't talk for a second. Just so
okay.
You know, you don't have to say anything, but you can just wait if you like.
I'm going to have to sign off soon anyway, but if that person, if you can always type in or say right now if you have a specific question, and I can ask the person who did those responses, you know, forward any questions that you might have, or they might even want to be put in touch with you, so that, you know, if you're not already in touch with them, you might be able to collaborate or something. But all I know, I'm looking on my website right now and opened up that request, and asked the basic.
Sorry, say again. Let me explain just one thing about Discord, because you're new to Discord. So what you're looking at, so you're right now, this is my Discord, Fakeologist. So what that means is I have it set up in a custom way. And every server you go in will be laid out differently. It's completely customizable. So mine won't look, so just so you know, there's two kinds of channels in a Discord server. There are text channels where you type, and voice channels where you talk. They're separate channels. So right now, you're in a voice channel, obviously. You're talking. You can hear other people talking. And I labeled mine live stream because it is literally connected to a server that I've set up and bootstrapped. So it is broadcasting on my server to the world. It's like a always-on radio station.
Oh, wow.
Most of the time it's quiet. And we just have regular times of the week when people seem to congregate. But it broadcasts to the world. We do some silly things on it sometimes. We just have casual chats. It's all over the map, because it's anyone that's approved on our site can go there and talk. You know, sometimes on Saturday we have Australians that like to drink, and they come out and talk about media fakery
and now, of course, COVID.
I call it COVID, by the way, because that's what it is. It's the coronavirus plus the AIDS concept, and now you have COVID. So we have that. So when you make there's many, many discussions in the text channels about what's going on. I have it separated. I've got a make a date channel where you try and meet other people here to have a chat, general chat, COVIDs. We have an Australia channel because of the tyranny is obviously on full in Australia. And Australians are so much more awake than Canadians. Canadians are a really pathetic crowd when it comes to truth. I'm really sorry.
Compared
to Australians.
Where are you located? Do you mind me asking? Or?
I'm in Toronto.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I live in the east side of Toronto. I've been here my whole life. I've gone around the sun 54 times, or it's gone around the earth 54 times, depending on your perspective. So I've been here a while. So yeah, I'm just navigating this this whole mess, and I have been doing so since 2012, since I woke up to 9/11, which of course before this was the biggest psyop in the history of the world.
Right.
And now it's just a small little cousin compared to COVID. This is so big, and it's just amazing that most people have no idea what's happening. Even right now, it's been 2 years, and you've done all your freedom of information requests, and many people have been screaming at the top of their lungs, you guys got to watch out, this is what's coming down. You don't know what freight train is coming down the tracks here. And everyone is just worried about the color of the sky and you know, how fast the train is coming. They don't realize they are going to get smashed in such a big way that it's unprecedented. It's incredible. So I basically created this website just to try and promote the idea that 9/11 was the largest psyop in the history of the world up until that point. And the entire world, for the most part, believes it and still believes it.
Yeah, still.
Which made me, that was the only thing that I really took away from it, really upset me, because I realized that if they can get away with 9/11, what's next? Because it'll be just as bad or worse. And none of us in our research group figured this would happen, but we've talked about vaccines and mandatory vaccines and plandemics for the last 10 years. We've talked about it because it bubbled up. They've tried it so many times and they just let it go. Like obviously in Toronto, SARS-CoV-1. That came and went within a month or two.
Right.
And obviously, it was just a test to just see what they needed to grow out in their public health infrastructure, in their tyranny, in their duplicate government. Like, to me, it's a duplicate government that they've created. And they've overlaid it on top of all countries. One more research there I don't know if you're aware of that's Canadian is called Canuck Law.
Yes, I'm in touch with them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. She's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. She's an, you know, it's funny. The females are the leading researchers of truth, I think. It's just crazy. I don't know what it is about the female mind that's able to cut through this, but the men are really, they seem to be underrepresented, which is too bad.
And she's being, got Rocco Galati going after her, which is unfortunate. She has to put time and energy now into dealing with that situation. So, listen, I really appreciate this. I should get going and get some work done and get some breakfast, but I appreciate this. It was a nice, unexpected conversation.
No, hold on one second. I'll take it. Just give me one more bump for you.
Willoos, Tenreal,
Zulo,
Merbliss,
SMG.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, well, yeah, those are people that, those are all the people that come on the audio chat in the last 9 years. Yeah, no, I really wanted to talk to you. So if we could, I'd really like to, just have another uninterrupted 1 hour, 90 minute conversation with you from my studio, if you are interested, because I really like to only talk to people that understand what's going on, because like I won't interview a David Martin type person, because I know that even if they're not doing it deliberately, and I have no proof. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to promote anything that's taking people in the wrong direction, because we're running out of time here, and if there is any hope of getting people the right message, They can only listen to the people that are telling them the most truth. And they have to hear it over and over again. Because I can only, you're only one voice, but the media that they control is 1,000 voices.
Exactly.
And it's really hypnotic. And even for people like you and me, you know, we're subjected to it. It works on us too. And it wears you down. And I have to keep recharging my batteries with people like you that are on the right track. You know what's going on. You're doing the work because it's the only hope we have of getting out of this.
Exactly.
And man, we're pushing water uphill all the time. Well,
I just don't even, I don't listen to the mainstream media at all anymore. I've never once listened to Doug Ford's, any of his videos, or I just don't engage with any of that at all because, you know, it's just going to suck your energy. Yeah, I guess it's good to have an idea what they're saying so you have an idea what's going on, but it's also very draining and take up a lot of time. So I just recommend to people, like, find some kind of project that you can do that is positive to help turn things around and put your time and energy into that, exactly like what you're doing, hosting a forum like this. And you know, there's a lot of things that people can do, even if you don't want to dwell on COVID related stuff, but it could be like helping people in your neighborhood. Or everybody has different skills and amount of time and energy and things that they're able to do. So just, like, I think it's nice. It gives you a way to sort of flip things around and make something positive out of the shitty situation. And that, you know, bit by bit, each person just doing what they can, that's how I think it's going to turn around. And as our consciousness is expanding, and hopefully we're always getting help from the universe too, because I tend to feel like we're not destined to some horrific future. Something good has to come out of this, right? So hopefully there's something really, really great on the other side of all this.
I think, that's a good, hopeful message. I think most of us agree, and we see it, and you know, you and I have the same experience because we live in the same province, that the education and the health system were destined to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a controlled demolition of both systems. I agree with it. I think you and I've had terrible interactions with the healthcare system, myself, my whole family. But I didn't know it at the time because I didn't know anything. So you get on the conveyor belt and you're processed like a product through the system, and you don't know what happened till the end, and you come out mangled and you realize, wow, this doesn't work. So I think most people agree the education system and the healthcare system in Canada especially needed to be blown up, like literally level to the ground and rebuild. So if this is the controlled demolition they're doing, then I'm supportive of it. The main thing I'm really against is forced injections, because I know what that means. That means they're trying to kill people.
Oh yeah,
I'm against that. Like, I could go along with so much of the Great Reset and what they want to do. I could go along with a lot of it, but I can't go along with the main central part of it, which is to inject people and literally kill people on a regular basis.
I see it as they want everyone unite. You know, they talk about being united, but it's going to be, they want us united under tyranny, not under freedom and love and truth and justice. It's like you said, everything is inverted. They want us united under, you know, something where everything is completely flipped upside down and there's nowhere for us to escape and nowhere for us to go. And I'm not on board with that either. So we got to flip it around into something positive.
Well, I'll say it more bluntly. They want to kill us. Mm-hmm. Not everyone at the same time, though. It's a little too obvious.
Yeah.
They want to kill or maim us. And I really have a mission now, because one of my daughters was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes this year. She almost died right in front of me. And I thought, oh my God, now what? So my research just into vaccines in the last year or two has led me all over the place, as it should have led everyone. Everyone should be looking into this, not just people that are what I think are directly harmed by it. And I'm almost positive that it's a vaccine injury, but it's not an injury from this year or last year. It's from childhood. And I ran into Dr. Andrew Molden, who allegedly disappeared or died.
Yes.
Another Canadian that went through McMaster And this guy was off the wall wacky, but unfortunately, off the wall wacky might be the actual solution or might be the actual thing that's going on. And I really think that a lot of females in their late teens, that's when the toxins from the childhood vaccinations gets released into their system. And then they have these incredible autoimmune disorders. And to me, an autoimmune disorder just means that there is poison in the body and the body is doing its damnedest to get it out. So if it's stuck in your pancreas and it can't get out, well, I think this is the year that her pancreas finally just said, I'm done. I'm dead. I give up. No more insulin for you because I'm dead. My theory with that is that females have a hormone called relaxin, which is part of their menstrual cycle. And once the relaxin really kicks in as a teenager, that's when all the fibroids that hold the toxin from the childhood vaccinations, especially in female, gets released into the system and starts killing the internal organs, including thyroid and all the organs that are and vascular tissue like the pancreas, and they get starved for blood because it's toxic because of the poisons that are being carried around for the white blood cells and blocking the red blood cells. Anyway, I think he's so on track with his theories that I've definitely promoted them on my website. So that's why I have a personal hatred now towards anything injected because I think it's the cause of almost every disease, modern disease going on right now. Really, because we have clean water. We mostly have relatively stable food. So we get our nutrition, even if it's got pesticides and is slightly toxic. But I think it's the direct injection that's caused most of the problem for most people. And they don't even realize it.
Could very well be. Anyway. It seems like people who didn't, you know, grow up with all these injections and stuff, they're much, much healthier, much, much better off. So, it seems to be a huge, huge factor. I think there's definitely others as well, but it's a big one for sure. And that's why it's so important that we just expose this whole, fake theory about viruses, bacteria being the cause of disease. And we will. We have to.
Well, the other misdirection, I'm positive, is a deliberate misdirection, is if you look at the cause of most major diseases, and now I look into type 1 diabetes, it's unknown. That's at the top of the web pages. The cause is unknown, but we're doing into genetics. And genetics is another science fraud, I think. I don't think there's such thing as chromosomes or genes. But that's a way for them to literally misdirect anyone who's interested in trying to figure it out going down the wrong path. Like if I send the entire army left when the enemy's on the right, the guy on the right doesn't have to worry for quite some time until, you know, the army gets to the end of the road on the left and says, wait a second, they just sent us down this garden path here. They know damn well it's not, there's no such thing as genetics and genes. It's not hereditary. Not at all. It's just direct or indirect poisoning of a group. That's it. It's not magical.
I don't know about these things. I haven't looked into them, but something tells me you're probably on the right track. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And if people like you that are smart and like to research, if we can send all the good research down the right track, I think we'll figure it out really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully this, I call this a vax-pocalypse. Hopefully this will be the revealing, because I think it's the Hail Mary of the vax, the big harma. Because I think people were catching on to the toxins and dangers of vaccines, and they just said, look, we're losing our business. We're just going to have to force everyone to take our product. And it'll either work or it will fail miserably. And I think if it fails miserably, and I really hope it does, then it'll be the end of vaccines for good. And I mean all vaccines, all poisoning. And that would be fantastic.
Yep. So. Absolutely. Why don't we get in touch through email? Because I don't know if I'll be on this Discord thing a lot, or like I said, I barely know how to use it, but, and we can set up a time to do another talk.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'm on Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 PM Eastern. I'm in Toronto. I think you're in Peterborough, I think.
Yeah, I'm in Peterborough. Sunday to Thursday, you said? Or Sunday?
Yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8:30 PM. I'm usually on for about an hour and a half at the most. So yeah, we can just talk straight through like we did now, and maybe better quality. And if you have anything to present, on your video screen. You can present anything, or I can present it. So I really like to promote your work, because I think you're one of the very few people that are on the right track, and you see the big picture, and you're actually interacting with the beast system, and they're telling you the truth. Like, I think they have to tell the truth on many things, but, and you're exposing that they aren't telling you the truth. They're telling you they don't have anything, but they have an excuse for it. But I think they're compelled, even though they are deceivers, they're compelled by whatever sick code they have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And if people are not willing to see the truth because they're so misled with half-truths, then it's their fault. Like, it's
your
fault if you get injected. We didn't force it on you. We just said you can't do anything. But we didn't come to your door and stick the needle in your arm. You ultimately said, go ahead, stick me. Yep. You said it.
You gave your consent.
You gave your consent, even though the coercion was off the charts.
Yeah.
You still wanted to take that vacation or go in that restaurant or go have that coffee at Tim Hortons. You decided. So you can't blame or sue anybody. So you're screwed.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing. They're operating within the law, the common law. They are, everything they're doing is legal.
Well,
it's just moral as hell.
I think they draw bits of truth here and there, but I mean, they're still engaged in this massive fraud, making all these claims about these injections and claiming that what they're doing is science-based. There's a lot of lies. I don't know I don't know that much about common law, to be honest, but there's certainly, even just the fact that they're marketing these things in the way that they are has to be, they have to be violated.
Well, the one thing that David Martin, I think, did do correct is he said he went to the SEC filings and Pfizer and Moderna did file it as gene therapy. They did not call it a vaccine.
Yeah. But the thing is that's between them and the SEC. But the way they what really matters, my point of view is how they interact with us. And with us, you know, they tell lie after lie after lie.
Yeah.
And, they call it vaccine, and they play their role in promoting these things. And, I think we have to be able to hold them accountable. And, but I'm definitely not super knowledgeable about such things. I should run.
Yeah, you should go. We have to just hang up because we'll talk forever.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Christine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.